Well, welcome, everyone. Great to have you here in week three of Discovering Your Divine Design. And thrilled to have you in this class. I hope you're having a little bit of fun with this, okay? I hope you're not staying up all night trying to discover your passion. It shouldn't be quite that hard. But we're just hoping as we sort of, again, check our pulse, just take a look at where we are in life right now, just to see, you know, is what's going on in my life confirming what I'm doing for God's kingdom? Is it time for a mid-course correction? You know, are you just trying to get on the way as a new believer and sort out, you know, how do I make a difference? Hopefully, this course will help you, whoever you are in the class. So let's open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day that you've given us to be together, to worship, to encourage one another, and to just learn from your word. So be with us, we pray, as we just consider how you, who knew us before we were ever born and had plans for our lives, how we might align our lives with your calling and your purpose. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So at the top of your outline, if you picked one up, it says, it's a Rick Warren quote, the abilities that you do have are a strong indicator of what God wants you to do with your life. They are clues to knowing God's will for you. God doesn't waste abilities. He matches our calling and our capabilities. And you've got to believe that the God who created the universe through all the stars in space, created quirks and quarks and all of those various other things, has some kind of economy in the way that he works. That he knows what he's doing and he doesn't waste the gifts that he's given us and the talents that he's given us. I've always kind of believed that. But unfortunately, when I was a younger man, much younger, I must say, I was always trying to figure out, well, what abilities do I have? Like, is there anything I was good at? Like, I thought the only thing I was above average at was being average. I just thought, you know, I saw the people who got attention were the scholars and the sportsmen and the people who had big personalities and the people who were attractive. And, you know, and I just sort of felt, you know, I was a part of the muddy middle, you know. And so I've spent a lot of time as I've kind of moved through my life doing various kinds of things, trying to get a bit of a fix on, you know, what is it that God is doing in my life? What has he called me to do and where is he directing me? And the kind of work we've been doing in this class is the sort of work that I've been doing all of my life through the various seasons as I've made various different changes. The notion that, you know, compared to other people, I don't really have a lot to offer. You ever been there? Don't put your hand up. That's a rhetorical question. Have you ever been there? I discovered as I was going through the Genesis change process, that's actually a lie that I somehow inherited as a child and carried through. And it's been kind of a self-defeating lie that somehow or another I've got nothing significantly to offer. I'm just sort of average. There are lies that we tell ourselves right from the very beginning that kind of mess up this notion of finding God's will for our lives. You know, God will never use me to do anything amazing. Who says? You know, I'm never going to be, you know, any more than this or that or whatever it is. By the way, if you are in a place where you sort of are looking for a change in your life and you've had a hard time making the change, we will be having another round of our Genesis change process coming up. We have a special interest meeting on September 14th. If you just want to come and check it out and see if it has potential for you, we'd love to have you come. But I'm now convinced of this, that God has equipped me with some abilities and some facility, and I believe he's done the same thing for every one of you. I don't think there's any average people in this world, in this room, from God's perspective. He knows each one of you. He cares for each one of you. Each one of you is special in his eyes. And so I want us to begin just talking around your tables for a few moments. I want you to kind of talk about, what have you found that you are just naturally good at? Now, I know what your mom said, you know. Your mom said, don't blow your own horn, right? Okay, if it wasn't your mom, it was your grandmother that told you that. Blow your horn just a little bit today, you know. You're going to say, oh, what the Bible says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just talking you to take an honest look in the mirror and look backwards and say, what is it that I am good at? What is it that I naturally excel at? What do I love to do? What have other people noticed that I do well? So let's just take a few moments and try to have everybody share at least one thing that you feel you're good at. Don't all talk at once. Okay? Somebody be bold and just say one thing. We'll take another minute or so. Okay, let me call your attention back, I'm really pleased to hear all the excited talk. I hate to break up the party. It sounded like it was just getting rolling. How many people found it hard to identify a thing that they were good at, something that you excel at, more than average? Doesn't necessarily, you know, if you're a writer, it doesn't have to be Pulitzer Prize winning, but it's just something you love doing. How many people found it relatively easy to identify what it is that you are good at? Terrific, great. And how many people are kind of in, you know, I really wanted to say I'm really great at this, but I don't want anybody to think I'm bragging. How many of you were there? Okay, no? No? How many of you are thinking, I think I'm really great at this? I just don't know if anybody else thinks I'm great at it. So one of the things it says in the scriptures is that we're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's an incredibly significant passage in the scripture. As Paul is talking about, what does this mean to be a part of God's new humanity? Well, it means that, you know, before you were born, God knew you were going to arrive on planet Earth and, you know, was already thinking about your life and where it would go. And so in week one of our course, we talked about spiritual gifts, you know, which we talked about as a special attribute or ability that the Holy Spirit supernaturally empowers in someone's life in a frequent and an effective way in the heart of a Christ follower. And in week two, we talked about your heart's passion, a God-given desire that compels us to make a difference in a particular area of life so God is honored and people benefit. You know, when I was growing up, I was convinced I was going to be a marine biologist, I thought. You know, that was, you know, I watched Jack Cousteau. Some of you probably figure, who in the world is that? No, he was big then, big fishy guy, very much into marine biology. And I was convinced that I was going to do that. Now, you know, ask me what my marks in biology were. Yeah, what in the world gave me my idea that I thought I was going to excel in marine biology? I don't know. Sciences was not my thing. Science was my daughter's thing. And she did her master's thesis, you know, talking about the effects of pollution on zebrafish. I'm thinking, okay, it wasn't my dream. Actually, it was her dream. I just thought it was my dream. So if you've never been good at sciences growing up, chances are your future probably hasn't unfolded in the area of sciences. And so when I went to university, I decided, well, I'm going to take economics. My dad was in business, and I thought, I'm going to take economics. And as I was going through economics and going through all the stuff, I was beginning to realize, you know, why do I think I should be in economics and business? I have shown no acumen, you know, for doing business ever. But I was just trying to find that place. What, you know, God's handiwork. I wasn't a Christian in those days, so I was trying to figure out what is God's imprint on my life, even though I didn't know it was He that had done it. So we are all been in that place where we're sorting out how can we live our best life in submission to the Holy Spirit and in purposeful contribution to the kingdom of God. And today we're going to talk about natural abilities, and you all have some of them. You know, it's interesting as you go through the scriptures, you see evidence of this. Somebody who had a penchant for something that God was able to use later, somebody like David, who was really great as a shepherd and ended up shepherding God's people, somebody like Dorcas, who was a seamstress, who because of her facility in making things, ended up being an influencer in the church, had a house church meeting in her home, Lydia, who was a dyer of purple cloth, who ended up being influential in God's kingdom. These are people who had natural abilities that God was able to use significantly to make the difference. And many times, because they had that stature in the community, because of what they were known for, that set them up to be influencers for God's kingdom. God never finishes showing us His purpose. And as long as we're alive, we need to keep seeking it, because we were made to be used by God through every different season of life. Our strengths and our abilities, really, at the end of the day, are not drawing attention to ourselves. If we're honest, they're showing God's magnitude, and they're things to be grateful for and to be used with a heart of gratitude. And so today, I want to talk about abilities, natural abilities, the freedom that comes when we pursue those things God has uniquely designed us to do, and opposed to the things that we or others think we should do, either to make money or acquire things or to pursue a certain lifestyle. There are things we love to do and there are things we get stuck doing along life's way. But ultimately, even though there are sometimes we do what we have to do to get from here to there, ultimately it's great when we can find that sweet spot where we are really doing the things that we really love to do and we can find a meaningful place to do it in concert with the Holy Spirit and make a contribution to His kingdom at the same time. By the way, anybody excel at painting? Nobody? Okay, guess I'll have to keep looking. Anyway, be that as it may, I want to clarify some impossible confusion today between spiritual gifts and natural abilities, because whenever I talk about these two things together, there's always a little bit of, You know, how do we relate these things? And, you know, is a spiritual gift just a natural ability supercharged, or are they different things? And I'll try to bring some clarity to this as best as I can today. The Bible says there's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working or outworking, but all of them and in everyone, it is the same God who is at work. So let me say this at the beginning. You have natural talents, and you have at least one spiritual gift, and it all comes from God. So let's just acknowledge that right at the front end, okay? God's fingerprints are on your life. You've been created in His image. And so we're not setting these two things up in competition. We're trying to pull them together to see if they can give us a stronger sense of direction as how we can best serve at this season of our life. Now, there are some scholars that believe there's just a hard distinction between spiritual gifts and natural talents or abilities. They want to preserve the supernatural agency of the Holy Spirit and the giving and operation of the gifts. I understand that. There's others that believe that many spiritual gifts are natural abilities, simply supercharged or enhanced by the Spirit. They want to recognize the God-given talents people are born with. So wherever you're coming from, it's a noble aspiration to want to recognize God and give Him credit where credit is due. There's really no hard and fast distinction made between spiritual gifts on the one hand and natural giftings on the other. In the scriptures, you see Paul teaching on spiritual gifts, I think because it was something people didn't know a lot about. Now, before Paul came on the scene, there was lots of people with natural abilities, all kinds of people. People who don't know Jesus have natural abilities, okay? And so natural talent, natural abilities, I think are indications of God's fingerprints on the lives of even people who haven't come to know Him yet. So I think that all of these gifts and abilities come from Him. But there are some implied distinctions in my mind, and I'll try to make the case today, and you can decide whether you want to come along with me on the journey or not. But I think it might help us to kind of sort this out. Spiritual gifts, oh, by the way, natural talents and spiritual gifts can, but not necessarily, can work together, but they don't necessarily work together. Sometimes, I'll explain it in a minute. Follow along with me. Spiritual gifts are a divine endowment of the Holy Spirit, according to J. Raymond Carlson. They're spiritual in essence in that they spring forth from the Spirit. They're spiritual in expression, for they're supernatural in their source. And they are spiritual in that their effect, because they edify the church, empower the Christian, and exalt Christ. The supernatural element is introduced into Christian work and worship in addition to consecrated natural gifts. So, as a Christian, we all have different kinds of spiritual gifts and talents. We may have good athletic ability to play baseball like Michael Jordan. I mean, basketball, or Kevin Durant, maybe more recently. Or maybe act like Natalie Portman. Is that still relevant? I think she's still out there. Or maybe even sing like Michael Jackson, or Adele, or whoever you prefer. All of these people are talented, and I believe all of their talents has come from God. I think when people who don't know Jesus excel in certain areas, that's still an indicator of God's handiwork in their lives. They don't always acknowledge Him as the giver of those gifts, but I think that's where they come from, because God is infinitely creative. Sometimes we may have extraordinary wisdom that we impart to other people about God, and sometimes we have good leadership in the church, which are spiritual gifts that God had given to us after receiving His salvation. But what's the difference between a talent and a natural gift, a natural talent? They sound very much alike, but there is some differences that I'd like to draw some attention to. So let's compare both of these blessings from God and contrast to see the nuances between natural talent and spiritual gifts. So if you're following along in your outline, the very first line is, spiritual gifts are not simply natural talents. It's just not quite that simple. Everyone was born with natural abilities, but God gives His spiritual gifts to believers from the time that they receive the Holy Spirit and start following Jesus, okay? So that's probably the biggest distinction between natural talents and spiritual gifts is that you may be born with natural talent and predilections, but spiritual gifts come when you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. One of them is sort of inherited, and the other one is bestowed later on in your spiritual life. So that's one way of sort of sorting out the difference between the two of them. And again, let's not get too panicky about creating a hard distinction, because both of these things are given by God to be a part of your life, to help you be effective in blessing the people around you and doing his work in the world. The second thing is, and this follows up, that spiritual gifts are received where natural talents are inherited. One of the differences between a spiritual gift and a talent is that spiritual gifts are received while natural talents are inherited. There are some of us who are built to run. Anybody share that as your special thing that you excel at? Okay. Now, you can follow my pictures from birth till today. Yeah, nobody's going to be fooled here that I was made to run. Okay. Nobody is going to make that mistake. But some of us are. Some of us are natural athletes. We've been, you know, active as kids, and we're, you know, I tried to be an athlete. Yeah. I know what it means to be cut from the basketball team multiple times. Okay, so obviously that wasn't going to be the area that I was going to excel in. But there was many people who just, you know, had the ability to do things well. My dad was tremendous when it comes to doing like DUI and handyman stuff and so on and so forth. And as I was sharing with you about beforehand, I'm abysmal at that. But my son has that. Why do my dreams keep missing a generation? I don't get it, but my kids get it. Like, I haven't figured that one out yet. So for an example, a man inherits his father's talent in mathematics, and so he becomes a good mathematician. And you often see that a son or a daughter will fall in the pattern of what their parents had done. It was valuable then, and there was a natural interest, and so, you know, it was passed along. Not always, but often. Another example is when a woman inherits her mother's singing voice, and that's why she's good at singing. And those are natural talents that are passed down from generation to generation in the family. And sometimes, if you look at your own family, you can say, yeah, it just seems all of, you know, that particular family, the Joneses, they were all singers, all of them, very musical. Just, they could pick up instruments, play them at the drop of a hat. They were just, that was runs in that family. Okay. Spiritual gifts, on the other hand, are received by a person once they've received salvation. And it's given from the hands of the Holy Spirit according to the will of the Father. And so, you know, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul outlines this in some detail. You know, the manifestation of the Spirit, he says in chapter 12, verse 7, is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given a word of wisdom, and he goes through all of the rest. And at the end of the day, he says, and the one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. But Paul is now talking to people post-salvation. They've already made a decision to follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit has come to reside in their life. And this is why Paul says, I don't want you to be in the dark about spiritual gifts. Yes, you know about natural gifts and abilities. You all have them, and they have been evident. But now that you're followers of Jesus, I want to clue you in. And one of the other things he says in his writings is understanding these things, the spiritual things, it's kind of tough if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and your spirit is alive, because a lot of times this is sort of nonsense to people who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord. So Paul is saying, you know, the church's mission needs to go forward. You're all a part of that mission. You are gifted by God to be a part of that mission. I don't want you to be in the dark about how you can make your contribution. And so he goes on to teach about spiritual gifts. Well, natural talents are given at our physical birth. I'm generalizing just a little bit. And spiritual gifts are given at our spiritual birth. Now, again, this is kind of reinforcing what we've already said. Number three, spiritual gifts are imparted to the saved, while talents are acquired by both the saved and unsaved. Okay? Spiritual gifts are imparted to people who are saved, but natural talents are acquired by both the saved and unsaved. And that's why we can appreciate somebody's musicianship. We can appreciate somebody's artistic ability. We can appreciate somebody's wisdom in the area of finance. We can, you know, they don't necessarily have to be believers for us to recognize that person is exceptionally good at that and appreciate that gift that they've been given. And so, you know, talents kind of are shared by both saved and unsaved, so it's not surprising to see people do well who don't know Jesus in this area of natural talents and abilities. Okay. Number four, spiritual gifts are matured and surprising while talents are developed and expected. I borrowed this idea from Bruce Bugbee in his book, What You Do Best, and I thought about this in terms of my own life. When I first became a believer, I was going to Bible college. I was learning about spiritual gifts. I was, went to Pentecostal such things as class. And I, like many of you, was sort of sorting out, well, what does this mean for my life? Like, how do I sort this out? Like, how do I know? And I have found over the years, as I've continued to carry on as a follower of Jesus and in ministry, that the spiritual gifts that I have kind of grown up with me and have come to, evidence at specific times that I didn't always anticipate. And so I thought, that's interesting. Sometimes spiritual gifts, we sort of maybe don't see them at the front end, but there comes a point in our life where something happens, we're called to do something for the Lord, we step in, and we realize that God has been involved in equipping us for that particular issue. And when it's on an ongoing basis, it's probably not just a one-time occasion, it's probably a spiritual gift if that takes place that way. Where talents are something we recognize in the ability and we develop them, I used to take singing lessons. I know, you're shocked and surprised. Because obviously my mom and dad wasted a lot of money on that. But anyway, I used to be a singer and I was recognized and I went into competitions and so on and so forth. And that was something that my mom and dad decide we should try to develop that and see if it goes anywhere. So it wasn't a spiritual gift. It was just a natural ability. There seemed to be some evidence of that. And so for a while, I was taking music lessons. I never got better than number two or three. Never number one. Always number two or three. There were always those girls, who played the piano or whoever that always beat me in the talent competitions. Anyway, along the way, I thought, I'm not going to make my way as a singer, so I decided I'm not doing any more singing lessons. Obviously, this is going nowhere. Number five, both spiritual gifts and talents come from God. They're both God-given. I think that's really important to underline, okay? So, rather than comparing, putting all your gifts and spiritual gifts and natural talents on the table, it's not like trading cards, where you can kind of pass them. No, they're all given by God. They're all to be valued. They're all to be used. And that's important to kind of keep in mind. They're all God-given. They're blessings that God has given to us to do his will in the world. Everything we have is from him. And so we want to exalt him and be grateful for the gifts he's given him. And there's no way we express gratitude to God when we use the natural talents and gifts that he's given us. I mean, we glorify God whenever we do that. So both spiritual gifts and natural talents need to be identified, developed, and put to good use to fulfill our life's purpose. Number six, natural talents are an expression of God's common grace, while spiritual gifts are an expression of his specific grace. I'm going to explain that in just a second. Natural talents are an expression of God's common grace that all people receive. Spiritual gifts are an expression of a specific grace which God gives us to do a specific work. People with Christ have natural talents, as I said earlier, but God gives additional grace to those who follow him and, lean into his mission in the world. Number seven, and this is where we get into the fun part. Okay, you ready? You sitting down? Seatbelts fastened? Natural talents can sometimes, but not always, partner well with one's spiritual gifts. Okay? So this is where a lot of times people will say, well, I know Betty, and Betty is an incredible nurse. And if anybody has the gift of mercy, it's Betty. And I'm telling you, if you have the spiritual gift of mercy and you have the skill of being an effective caregiver in the health field, that, wow, there's an example where your natural talent and your passion links with your spiritual gift to give you a significant impact and influence wherever it is that God calls you to work. But at the same time, you can have somebody who is a teacher in school who does not have the gift of teaching, You can be an effective manager in business, but not necessarily have the spiritual gift of administration. I used to have a friend of mine who was a bus driver in the city of Ottawa, and he saw a lot of people all the time, but this particular person had the gift of evangelism. And I knew that he had the gift of evangelism because whenever we would go to McDonald's, I'd be standing in line. And you know how you've got somebody, your friend, standing in line behind you? I'd be standing in line and I'd be talking to him and I'd turn around and all of a sudden the person behind me is a total stranger. And he's kind of looking at me bewildered. And I'm thinking, well, what happened to my friend? And the next thing you know, I look across the room and he's in the corner booth with six young people telling them about Jesus. And I'm thinking, how did you get from the food line over to an evangelistic opportunity? He wasn't a pastor, he wasn't a teacher, but my word, God just seemed to use him incredibly effectively in the area of evangelism. He was able to make contact with people, and he was able to move very quickly into a, and people were listening. I mean, all these young people were just riding on his every word. It was just amazing to see. I saw him do that not once, but many times. And I thought, if anybody's got the spiritual gift of evangelism, he does. There are people who have worked in the mine as miners in one of the churches where I served who were incredibly good Bible teachers. Their training was not in teaching. Their training was in blasting rock. But they are very effective in teaching. And I thought, this person has a spiritual gift of teaching. It's something they've never trained for, but they're extremely good at, and they're using it to bless God's people and advance God's kingdom. So sometimes our natural talents and our spiritual gifts can go hand in hand, but not always. Sometimes there's exceptions to the rule, and that's okay, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Both natural, number nine, both natural talents and spiritual gifts can vary in degree and kind. This is important to understand. Some people are naturally good at sports and music and excel. Others have to work hard to manage a level of competence. Some with the gift of leadership will lead a few. Others with the same gift will lead hundreds or maybe even thousands of people. You know, natural abilities, did I tell you I used to be a worship leader? Did I tell you? Yeah, Paulo won't let me on the stage, no way, not a chance. And probably for good reason, but I managed to develop a certain level of competence at worship leading. I was never exceptional, but I was able to use my singing competition training well enough to at least bless God's people, most of them, most days, in serving as a worship leader until such time as we got somebody who really was gifted at that particular thing. So that was a natural talent that I had from youth that I was able to, I was never like amazing, but I was good enough to serve. Now, that's not to discount that gift. You know, sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes, spiritual gifts can be over and above. You know, the most surprising people turn out to be tremendous worship leaders and worshipers, if you want to use that area. So don't discount your gift or your natural talent because you're not as good as Ken. The fact that you're not as good as Ken only means he's got more facility, more experience, whatever. But what you do is just as important as what he does, if Paul is to be believed, that every gift, every ministry is important to the body of Christ, the visible ones, the not so visible ones. So keep that in mind. Natural talents can be, different in degree and kind. We don't have to be clones of one another. We won't be clones of one another. But we can recognize everybody's facility, each in our particular situation. Number nine, what I'm able to do, God wants me to do. And sometimes when I've been trying to sort out the difference between my spiritual gifts and natural talents, I just have found myself saying, I'm just going to wade in and do what God has called me to do and let him surface these things as I just try to be obedient to whatever it is he's called me to do. And over time, I find I feel a certain passion and a certain predilection to certain things. And then more importantly, every once in a while, someone said, wow, we really appreciate that you do this. We really appreciate that you do that. And I've always looked at it as affirmation that I'm on the right track. Okay, I've tried not to let it go to my head. I don't get it right every day. But I try not to let it go ahead, but look at it as a sense of affirmation. Okay, I've had several people over the course of my life highlight this. I've always thought I was good at that. I want to be good at that. And these people are telling me that I do have that facility. So there comes a point where I just need to receive. just accept what God has given me and use it to the very best of my ability. And here's the reality for you and for me. You are the only person in the world who can use your abilities. I can't use your gifts for you. I can encourage you in your gifts, but only you can use your natural talents. That's up to you to employ them. It's a stewardship you've been given. So all of us have a stewardship of this one life and these gifts and talents that God has given us, and we all have the opportunity to make the most of them. And I think really that's what we're trying to do in the Divine Design class, is we're trying to help you just become clearer as to contribution that you can make, and then call you to step in, be a good steward of your life, do the best you can. But we want you to do it in a place that's the right place, the right fit for who you are, your talents and your abilities, okay? No one else can play your role because they don't have the unique shape that God has given you. The Bible equips you with all you need for doing his will. To discover God's will for your life, you should seriously examine what you're good at and what you're not good at and pay some attention to that, okay? Every once in a while, you know, so-and-so is really good at that and I want to be recognized as being good at that, but that's really not my thing. So why don't I just let them be good at that and just be good at what I'm good at? So we're all stewards or managers responsible for everything that God has given us. Now, I've put a little bit of some of us are a little more visual learners than auditory learners. So I've kind of put a graph just to sort of compare spiritual gifts and natural talents to give you some idea of the difference between the two of them. And again, the idea is not to, you know, split theological hairs on what is what, but it's to help you understand the fingerprints that God has in your particular life and to accept what God has deposited in your life and to do your best to be a good steward of what God has done in and for you. And so let me kind of summarize a little bit here. A spiritual gift is a God-given capability, skill, or proficiency given to Christians upon receipt of the Holy Spirit into their lives for the purpose of carrying out their function in God's economy. A natural talent is the inherited and self-developed ability to do something well. And a gift is given at rebirth. A talent is something you are born with. But in addition to that, there are skills, right? There are skills that we all acquire. And hopefully we do best when those skills are aligned with our passion and our natural talents. But it's amazing. They say, what, if you spend 10,000 hours of practice at anything, you can become a virtuoso in that field. I think if you have a calling to that and a passion for it, it makes it a whole lot easier. 10,000 is a lot of hours. But they're saying if you practice diligently for 10,000 hours, you can become, quote, an expert at just about anything. And so there are some skills that we can develop. They're not given to us by the Holy Spirit, but it's just things that we give ourselves to train ourselves to do well. And your skills also play a role in this picture. So you have natural gifts, you have spiritual gifts, you have natural talents, and you also have skills that you've acquired along the way. And when you put that all on the table and you say, Lord, you know, here's what I've seen, here's what others have seen. Lord, what do you want to do with all of this? Where is this pointing me? How does this help me understand what it is, where it is that I can best serve you? And so we just kind of put it on the altar and say, God, this is your choice. You know, guide me in the direction that I should go, okay? So the question is, oh, by the way, every ability can be used for God's glory. Paul says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That refers to everything we do for him. And the Bible is filled with people that had different abilities that they used for God's glory. So all of that to set up our worksheet for number 3, okay? Now, you all had a chance to talk a little bit about what you thought you were good at, but just in case you were a little fuzzy, I have created a worksheet to help you maybe focus your attention, focus the lens a little bit. Ken, I'm going to get you to come forward this morning. I'm going to pick on you. If you just want to put these at the back on the table that people can pick them up on their way out. But I do want to say a couple things about the worksheet so that you make the best use of it if you choose to. Okay, so there are all kinds of activities that we engage in throughout our lives, okay? Things come up. Everyday life just requires us to do all kinds of different things. Some of these things we choose by choice. Some of them are dropped on us by others. Some activities we endure. Some activities we embrace, okay? You with me so far? Isn't that true? Doesn't that sound like real life? So the purpose of today's worksheet is to give you something to bounce off of, to give you something to consider, to point you in a certain direction. And the idea is to recognize and embrace the things you love to do, not just the things that you can do or feel pressured into doing, but the things you love to do. Okay, and as you consider each of these 50 common activities, there may be a couple more you want to add, ask yourself which of the following responses best describes you. Okay, I'm going to pick one. Building, the ability to construct, make, or assemble. Do I love it? Do I like it? Or I really seriously, I could live without it. Okay. So this is a pretty simple way of kind of sorting through. I'm looking for the ones that you love. So I want you to mark the ones that I love it. The ones that, you know, I like it, or I could, you know, live without it. Don't mark those. Mark the ones that you really love. Like when you do those things, you feel energized. You feel, you know, it's been time well spent. Have you ever had that feeling when you've been employed in something or another and you've looked back and said, well, that was a waste of time? Anyone? Anyone? Yeah. That's not what I'm looking for here, okay? I'm looking for those things that when you have been involved in these things, you feel energized, you feel good about the time you've spent, you feel it was a good exercise of the stewardship of your life that you look at and say, yeah, when I do that, I'm up here. When I do this other thing, yeah, really, it's just taking life out. So the things you love to do tend to give you life. The things that you can do without tend to drain life from you. And so when you're looking at your life in totality, I've had to do this several times, especially when I found myself, you know, kind of depleted. I thought, well, what am I involved in and what is giving me life and what is taking life away? And sometimes I've had to do a hard assessment of what to say yes to and no to, because you can't just simply perpetually carry on in an area where you don't love it and you're not good at it for very long before you start having serious issues, you know, mentally and psychologically. We just can't survive in that zone forever. And so it's good to just sort of say, at this point in my life, at this point, 2022, August, as I look through this list of things, and I'm not expecting you to mark 50, okay? Like if you can identify 2 or 3, or maybe a real go-getter, maybe 6, don't do any more than that. These are things you love. When I'm doing these things, you know, these really fill my tank. And this will be something that you'll transfer to your shape profile that'll give you one more piece of evidence to help understand yourself and what God has done. Next week is going to be Communion Sunday. So we will be meeting upstairs to share communion together. And then 2 weeks from now, we're going to deal with the P in shape, which is personality. Oh yeah, you don't want to miss that one. You don't want to miss that one. I've got a file this big because I was trying to sort out who I was and what I should be doing. So from the time I took psychology in university, I've been going through, you know, the DISC, the Kiersey Temperament Sorter, you know, Simpson, Berkman, you know, leadership aptitudes, what motivates you. You know, I've been on a long journey to discover, you know, who myself, to make sure I'm doing the right thing and stewarding my life in a proper way. For some of it, you know, when I first started, I thought, this is just nonsense. I would do these surveys and I'm thinking, I don't know who they're talking about, but I obviously got the wrong result back. But I have found over time, as I visit these things from time to time, I've noticed that patterns that go right back to those earliest days that are still significant to me today. So it's helped me to understand myself better, which is really the whole point. Anyway, we'll give you a copy of the Kiersey Temperament Sorter just for fun. Just do it for fun. Just kind of see what it says. You don't have to agree with its results, but it will help you to sort of sort out, you know, I find whenever I get feedback of any kind, even if I dismiss 90% of it as being nonsense, the 10% I pay attention to could be life-changing. So when it comes to this kind of feedback, it's always good to just be receptive to what you might learn about yourself along the way. Anyway, we'll save that for 2 weeks from now. And then we'll finish up talking about how important your life experiences are in tracking what God wants to do in and through you, okay? So pick up a copy of the Discovering Your Talents, Skills, and Abilities, Worksheet 3. And if you need any other of the handouts that we've done previously, mickn@broadwaychurch.com, email me, I'll send them to you. I'll send you PDFs that you can download onto your computer. So, good. Let's pray, and I'll let you go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day we've had together. And Lord, we're here for one reason, just to be attentive to your Holy Spirit as he tries to lovingly guide us in the direction that we should go. Lord, whatever age we're at, whatever season of life we're at, whatever stage of life we're at, you've got a plan and a purpose for us and a reason for us to be here. And so, Lord, help us to lean hard into what it is that you called us to do. Make it clear to us, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.